Hello and welcome to your GCSE Biology Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor today, and we're diving into one of the most fascinating topics in the entire specification, Transport Systems in Plants, Topic 2.3. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final polish before your exam, this episode has everything you need. We'll cover the core concepts clearly, walk through exactly what examiners are looking for, tackle the most common mistakes students make, and finish with a quick-fire recall quiz to test yourself. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get into it. Plants might look passive, just sitting there in the garden, but inside, they're running a remarkably sophisticated transport network. Water is being pulled up from the roots to the very tips of the leaves. Sugars made in the leaves are being shipped off to growing roots and fruits. It's a two-lane motorway inside every plant stem, and understanding how it works will earn you marks across multiple question types. Let's start from the bottom, literally, with the roots. Let's begin with water uptake at the roots. The root hair cells are the plant's water collectors. They have a long, thin extension, the root hair, which dramatically increases the surface area available for absorption. Think of it like the difference between a smooth sponge and a fluffy one. More surface area means more water can be absorbed at once. Water enters root hair cells by osmosis. Now, this is a word you absolutely must be able to define precisely in your exam. Osmosis is the movement of water molecules from a region of higher water concentration to a region of lower water concentration across a partially permeable membrane. The soil water has a higher water concentration than the inside of the root hair cell, so water moves in. Simple, elegant, and worth marks. But here's where many candidates slip up. Mineral salts are not taken up by osmosis. Minerals like nitrates and magnesium ions are taken up by active transport. Active transport requires energy from respiration, and it moves substances against a concentration gradient, from low concentration to high concentration. So if an exam question asks you to compare how water and minerals are absorbed, you must distinguish between osmosis for water and active transport for minerals. That distinction is worth marks every single time it comes up. Once water is inside the root, it needs to travel upward through the plant. This is the job of the xylem. Xylem vessels are made of dead cells, and that's not a mistake, it's an adaptation. Because the cells are dead, they have no cytoplasm, no nucleus, and no end walls. This creates a continuous hollow tube, like a pipe, through which water and dissolved minerals can flow freely from roots to leaves. The walls of xylem vessels are strengthened with a tough substance called lignin, which prevents them from collapsing under the pressure of water movement. When you're asked to explain how xylem is adapted to its function, you need to mention dead cells forming a hollow tube, no end walls allowing continuous flow, and lignin-strengthened walls for support. Now, the movement of water through xylem is driven by transpiration. Transpiration is the process by which water evaporates from the leaves of a plant. Here's how it works. Water evaporates from the mesophyll cells inside the leaf and diffuses out through the stomata, tiny pores on the leaf surface. As water leaves the leaf, it pulls more water up behind it through the xylem, all the way from the roots. This pulling effect is called the transpiration stream. Think of it like a chain. Pull one link at the top, and the whole chain moves upward. The stomata are controlled by guard cells. When the plant has plenty of water and light is available, the guard cells take up water by osmosis, become turgid, that means swollen, and bow outward, opening the stomatal pore. When the plant is short of water, the guard cells lose water, become flaccid, that means floppy, and the pore closes. This is the plant's way of conserving water when it needs to. A critical exam point, stomata are not just for gas exchange, they also regulate transpiration. Many candidates only mention gas exchange and lose marks for the incomplete answer. Now let's talk about the factors that affect transpiration rate. There are four main ones you need to know. First, light intensity. More light means the stomata open wider, increasing the rate of transpiration. Second, temperature. Higher temperatures increase the kinetic energy of water molecules, so they evaporate faster. Transpiration rate goes up. Third, air movement or wind. Wind blows away the water vapor that accumulates around the leaf, maintaining a steep concentration gradient, so water continues to diffuse out quickly. Fourth, humidity. High humidity means there's already a lot of water vapor in the air around the leaf, so the concentration gradient is reduced and transpiration slows down. You might be asked to explain these in terms of concentration gradients and diffusion. That's the higher level answer that earns full marks. Now let's move to the second transport vessel, the phloem. While xylem carries water upward, phloem carries dissolved sugars, mainly sucrose, from where they're made to where they're needed. This process is called translocation. Unlike xylem, phloem cells are living cells. They have sieve plates at their end walls, perforated plates that allow substances to pass through, and they work alongside companion cells that provide the energy needed for active loading and unloading of sugars. The direction of flow and phloem is from source to sink. A source is anywhere sugars are produced or released, like a photosynthesizing leaf. A sink is anywhere sugars are used or stored, like a growing root, a developing fruit, or a storage organ like a potato. This source to sink direction is a key exam point. Phloem can transport in both directions, up and down the plant, depending on where the source and sink are. This is different from xylem, which only moves upward. Confusing these directions is one of the most common mistakes in this topic. So let's say it clearly. Xylem goes up, phloem goes both ways, depending on where the sugar is needed. Right, let's talk exam technique. This topic comes up in almost every paper, so getting it right is essential. The first big mistake is confusing. Osmosis and active transport for root hair cells. Water in by osmosis, passive, no energy needed, moves with the concentration gradient. Minerals in by active transport, requires energy from respiration, moves against the concentration gradient. Learn this distinction until it's automatic. The second mistake is saying stomata are only for gas exchange. They regulate transpiration too. Always mention both functions if a question asks about the role of stomata or guard cells. Third mistake, saying xylem cells are alive, they are dead. The fact that they're dead is the adaptation. No cytoplasm, no nucleus, no end walls, all because the cells are dead. Fourth, when explaining transpiration factors, always link back to the concentration gradient. Examiners want to see you explain the mechanism, not just state the factor. For example, don't just say, wind increases transpiration. Say wind removes water vapor from around the leaf, maintaining a steep concentration gradient between the inside of the leaf and the outside air, so water continues to diffuse out rapidly. For 6 more questions on this topic, structure your answer logically. Start with the cause, explain the mechanism, and link to the effect. Use connective words like therefore, because, and as a result. Examiners are looking for a chain of reasoning, not a list of facts. If you're asked to label a transverse section of a leaf, make sure you can identify the cuticle, upper epidermis, palisade mesophyll, spongy mesophyll, lower epidermis, stomata, guard cells, xylem, and phloem. Practice this until you can do it from memory. For potometer questions, a potometer measures water uptake, not transpiration directly. Examiners love asking candidates to explain this distinction. Water uptake is used as an estimate of transpiration rate because most water taken up is lost through transpiration. Time for your quick-fire quiz. I'll ask the question, give you 3 seconds to think, then give the answer. Ready? Question 1. What process moves water into root hair cells? Osmosis. Question 2. What process moves mineral ions into root hair cells? Active transport. Question 3. Are xylem cells living or dead? Dead. Question 4. What substance strengthens xylem cell walls? Lignin. Question 5. What is the name of the process by which sugars are transported in phloem? Translocation. Question 6. Name 2 environmental factors that increase transpiration rate. Light intensity and temperature, or wind, any 2 of those. Question 7. What happens to guard cells when a plant is short of water? They lose water, become flaccid, and the stomatal pore closes. Question 8. What instrument is used to investigate transpiration rate? A potometer. Let's wrap up with the key points to take away from today's session. 1. Water enters root hair cells by osmosis, moving from high to low water concentration across a partially permeable membrane. 2. Mineral ions enter root hair cells by active transport, requiring energy from respiration. 3. Xylem vessels are dead, hollow tubes strengthened by lignin that transport water and minerals upward from roots to leaves. Port transpiration is the evaporation of water from leaves through stomata, which drives the transpiration stream. 5. Guard cells control the opening and closing of stomata in response to water availability and light. 6. Transpiration rate increases with higher light intensity, higher temperature, increased air movement, and lower humidity. 7. Phloem transports dissolved sugars by translocation from sources to sinks in living cells with sieve plates. That's everything for today's session on transport systems in plants. If you can explain all 7 of those points clearly and link them together, you're in great shape for the exam. Keep revising, keep testing yourself, and remember, understanding the why behind each process is what separates a good answer from a great one. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.